Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you again this morning with grateful hearts. We thank you, Father, for this avenue of prayer that we can come to you at any time. We thank you, Father, for the freedom that we so often take for granted. We especially thank you, Father, for answering our prayers, for bringing our loved ones back here. We pray that you might help us as we encourage and exhort one another, that you would receive the honor and glory, and each one of us would have a closer walk with you and each other. We pray especially right now, Father, that you might bless your word. Help me as your servant to be able to convey truths that would help each one of us to think seriously on life and what your will is for our lives. And we again pray that you might just have your spirit move among us. And we ask if there's any evil here, we ask you might cast it out so that your spirit can have free course. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. And we're seated. All right, I'm putting my teacher mode in again. Who preached last Sunday? Who preached last Sunday? Gerald preached. And what did he preach on? What was the title? Give me some idea. What was that? Yes, a bondservant. That is correct. I think the choice to being a bondservant. I think that was his message. Now, we're going to stretch your brain a little further. How about the Sunday before that? Who preached? That's only two Sundays ago. What? Nope. Nope. Two Sundays ago. And I'll tell you what, our brains are really interesting here. This is what? Yeah, I did. All right, what did I talk on? What was rest, right. Okay, tell me what's the words we used in R-E-S-T. What's the first word? If you want to find rest in God, you have to what?
Repent.
What? Then what do you have? E, what do you have to do? Empty yourself. And what's S? What? Surrender. And T? Trust. Amen. So, I hope that you will not forget that fact of resting. Is God wants us to rest. He wants, and the only way we can find that is by following those key factors. This morning, without going to your phone, what did I post Wednesday in the SBF Inspirations? Anybody? Yeah, that was my phrase. That's good. Franz, your tops. But there was a picture there of a man leaning on a shovel. I'll read the quote that was in that. It says, God is in control, but he doesn't expect you to lean on a shovel and pray for a hole. Okay, it doesn't work that way. And then I said, work for the night is coming. That's John 9:4. And Jesus said, work for the night is coming. So with that in mind, we went from rest, and we're going to talk about work. Mm-hmm. And they seem like contrary, but they're not. When God created the world, he technically took 1 week. I mean, he wasn't sitting up in heaven on the throne saying, oh, well, we're going to do that. Oh, we'll think about this. No, he was working. He was putting things together. He was saying things, and things were happening. And that was his work. Sometimes I wish I could say things, and things would happen too, but it doesn't happen. But anyway, I'm not God, thank God. Anyway, when we see that When God created the earth, what did he tell Adam? In Genesis 2:15, what did he say? He said, dress and keep the garden. That was their work. That was their job. And with that being in mind, I came across this. Here's a definition of work. It says, work is an activity involving mental or physical effort done in order to achieve a purpose or result. Did you ever think about the fact that work is a gift? Did you ever think about it? Work is a gift, and so is time. There's a lot of gifts that God gives us, and some people don't look at it that way. The sad thing is, we live in a society. I was sharing this with a pastor this past week. I said, we live in a society where everybody wants to talk about vacations. They want to, you know, just kick back, and they want to, you know, do whatever they want. And I told this pastor, I said, you know, the devil likes to take everything that God wants done and twist it and tweak it to get us off course. Like, for instance, and the first thing he does in doing that, we go to the garden. The first thing he told Eve was, hath God said. He plants a seed of doubt in our minds that, oh, God doesn't mean what he says. The word doesn't mean what he says. Thank you. That's mine. Thank you. I think about it from the standpoint of Satan destroys families. He destroys relationships. He gets us off track. I mean, God wants us to perform, to work, to be active, and bring glory to him. And Satan wants you, oh, no, kick back. You know, just like we said a couple weeks ago, we're not on a cruise ship, we're on a battleship. And the devil would like to get us distracted. And how many here know what a distraction is? I mean, this past week, I got so many distractions. And you have to kind of get refocused. Like, wait a minute, I want to get this done. Otherwise, you go down bunny trails. I hope I don't have too many bunny trails this morning. But you know, the fact is, the devil wants you to get distracted off of truth. He wants you to get distracted off of God, because the Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed." In other words, it takes effort. It takes purpose. It takes energy to get something done. So thinking of these different things that happen in our society, I think one of the key factors that have destroyed the mentality of work is there is a generation rising and now is that has an entitlement mentality. And if you understand what entitlement means, it's selfish, proud, they're disrespectful, it's, you know, you owe me this type of thing. And you know what? Nobody owes you a thing. Because, you know, God has given us so many gifts that we have to utilize these gifts so that who can get glorified? Me or God? It's God. That's why we're here. That's why we were created. We were created to glorify God. The thing that helps us keep our track on that is, let's go to the scripture, it's 2 Chronicles. It says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. That fact that pride is out of the picture, humility is in, that's the only way we're going to be able to go forward and find favor with God. It's the only way we're going to be able to find fulfillment in life. It's having ourselves emptied. All right. I hope you don't get tired of me saying this, but if we make God first in everything in our lives, we will find love, life, and light. And those three words represent God. And when we have God in us, the people around us are going to see it. And that's going to hopefully point them to God, but that's why we're here. The little bit of a bunny trail. We have a birthday guy in this room. Art. It was last week. And I think when I wished him happy birthday, you were in Texas. Is that right? And you turn 65, right? All right. Well, we have a lot of people ask me, when you get to be 65, which I'm past, and I'm older than you, the fact is that people say, are you going to retire? You know, you're going to retire. And I tell them, I have a cliche, which my wife gets tired of a little bit, and that is, I said, when I get to turn 65, I'm not going to retire, I'm going to retread. You know, I'm going to put on a new tread. I used to work for Moomaw Firestone, and we would retread tires, and you have new traction, and you can go somewhere for a long time, as long as you don't let the air go down too low, and they fly off. But my cry is, God does not want us to quit. God wants us to work. Now, I'm not sure how many of you were ever taught or told this, but the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, if you don't work, what? You shall not eat. You don't eat. And I think I've done well with that. I'm not thin. So I have worked, and so I think I earned my bread. But what most people like to work, I mean, they like to eat, but they don't want to work. And we have a society that's among us that is happening, and you can see it everywhere. And the sad thing is, that is not what God has asked. God has told us we are to work if we're going to be able to eat. And there's a balance in that. All right. I would like if... we're going to turn to John 5, and I have this question, and that is, why work? Why do we work? In John 5, verse 17, this is over the time, this is when the pool of Bethsaida, there was a man there that, you know, Jesus asked him if you want to be healed. And he said, well, nobody was there to help him when the water gets stirred. And, you know, yeah, I'd like to get healed. But Jesus said, pick up your bed and walk. That was on the Sabbath day. And this got him into trouble because the righteous Jews, said it was a Sabbath day and he's not supposed to be walking around with your bed. And anyway, they came on after Jesus. And Jesus said in verse 17, but Jesus answered to them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Why do we work? Because Jesus said we're to work. We are to work. That is our responsibility. It's of God. God works. We work. Now, Matthew 5:16. Actually, why don't I just read some of these out? I want you to read them for me. Who'd like to get Matthew 5:16? Okay, that's 5:16. 1 Timothy 6:17 to 19. 1 Timothy 6:17-19. Okay. Now, Titus 2:6-8, and there's some other verses I'm going to get you there, but Titus 2:6-8. All right, Titus 2:6-8. And then Hebrews 10:24-25. All right. Then James 2:17-18. I haven't had anybody over here. All right. Thanks, Johnny. 1 Peter 2:12. 1 Peter? Thank you. All right. Let's go to Matthew 16. This is the question is, why work? Matthew 5:16.
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
So what's the purpose of working?
Glorify.
Amen. Glorify God. That's why we're here. 1 Timothy 6:17 and 19.
Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold of eternal life.
Okay, they find they're rich in good works. So in a nutshell, they are saying they find an enriched life by working, by having good works. All right, Titus 2, 6 to 8.
Likewise, urge younger men to be self-controlled. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us.
Go read 14.
Who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works.
Then go to chapter 3, verse 8.
The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people.
Okay, the purpose of work is so that we can be an example of Jesus Christ. The purpose of our work is to help people see Jesus in us. And it's commanded. It's told us that we need to do this. All right, let's go to Hebrews 10:24.
Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching.
Okay, our good works are to help other people. We're here to exhort one another. That's why we gather together like this. We're here to encourage each other, be faithful. I get goosebumps when I think about this. There's a lot of people that are discouraged in life because things aren't going the way they would like to see it go, or they get confronted by issues during the week that can become depressing. And we need each other to be encouraged and say, Lord, you know, here, I'm here. Don't get down. God loves you. And it's like this. Satan knows that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So we have to find joy. The only way we find joy is we have to have an attitude of gratitude in our lives. And thank God it's Sunday. Every day I thank God. And it's a purpose. This past week, well, I had an egg customer. He said he always likes coming here because he always feels a positive attitude. And he said it inspires him. Now, I want to be careful how I say it because I want him to see God, not me. Do you understand what I'm saying? But we have to be able to have that coming out of our lives so that people can see the key is God. It's not me. It's God. Thank God it's this day. Anyway. We're here to help others. James 2, 17, 18.
Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.
The power of living faith, or working it out in our lives, letting the truth work in our lives so it becomes a part of our life. It proves our trust and faith in God. And it's like I was saying before, it helps other people. 1 Peter 2:12. Amen. So when we are living the truth, good works come out, and people can't find fault in us because we are honest. We're above falsehood. We're above deception. We are living truth. We are a work of righteousness. I didn't say this at the outstart, but I do feel that I will not be able to cover works in its entirety. But I'm hoping this is enough to get you thinking the value of living right, having good works in our lives. Now, I would like you to turn to, this is my, somewhat my message. I was going through one of my old Bibles, and I came across this on Ephesians. And it stood out to me. It's like, wow, I forgot about that. I have, on the book of Ephesians, the Family of God Manual. The book of Ephesians, the Family of God Manual. And you read through Ephesians and see the value and place of what God wants us as families to be and experience. But I would like if we would turn to Ephesians 5. We're going to be just reading a few verses here. It's going to be Ephesians 5. We're going to read from 1 to 21. Okay, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become as saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an adulterer, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. You know, I'm an acronym guy, so you know the word I like to look at is work. And if you would look at this chapter, maybe you can help me. Verse 2. Walk how? What? I thought it's walking the light, right? It is love. You're right. Love is of God. That means you have to have God in you to be able to have that walk. And if you would look at, this is not in the verse, but if you would look at verse 6, I would, this is what I saw. A person who works for God is going to be observant. I was made to think, I have a grandson that's just got his driver's license or his permit, whatever. And I think there's some in here that have permits too. And one of the things, I am thankful that we're past the training stage, by the way. Our children are all mature or adults. But one of the things that I think I've taught all our children is when you're driving, you have to be observant. You have to have a 360. Everything, you have to know what's beside you, what's coming behind you, and what's ahead of you. It's a 360 view when you're driving. Because if you don't do that and keep that, somebody could come up beside you and you can make a wrong turn, or you can see somebody speeding up behind you and you want to get off the road. You know, you need a 360. You need to be observant. And when you're observant, you're a person who is watchful, you're keen, you're alert, you're sharp. You're just paying attention to everything. And if you would look at verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words. In other words, you're alert to what's going on. And if you look at the verses before that, people who are more whoremongers, unclean, covetous men, adulterers, you know, just all this junk, you have to be alert to that. Observe it. Stay away from it. Stay clear. Stay out of trouble. And I was, you know, we have testimonies here. You know, the verse that says evil communications corrupt good manners. So it's very critical who you associate with. And the people you associate with, number one, need to love and fear God. That's the number one factor. If they don't love and fear God, I'd walk away from them. You don't need that company. You don't need that friendship, because they're going to take you down trails that you don't want to go. And I can tell you personally, that's what happens. You don't want to go there. All right. The next word is R. And if you would look at verse 16, tell me what it is. Right. Redeeming the time. And work is a gift, time is a gift. I have a poem here that you probably heard me say it before, but it carries a lot of weight. It goes like this. I have only a minute, only 60 seconds in it. Forced upon me, can't refuse it. Didn't seek it, didn't choose it. But it's up to me to use it. I must suffer if I lose it, give an account if I abuse it. Just a little tiny minute, but eternity is in it. How many scroll? You know what? You know, it takes a lot of time to scroll. I mean, my phone's in my pocket. But, you know, it's very time consuming. And sometimes I wonder if we got more done when we didn't have cell phones. I'm being blunt. That tells you my age. Because we came across an old paper here recently that dug out. We were trying to clean up around the place. But anyway, this is a paper. What year was it? I think it was 87. And we went through this paper. I mean, ads everywhere, and my wife made the comment, well, that's definitely before cell phones. I mean, everybody was advertising their needing help and what they wanted to sell, and I mean, it was just pages and pages and pages of this stuff. And that was when we had, in Lancaster, we had the Intel and we had the New Era. We had two papers. Now there's one, and it's so thin, I'm not sure if it's worth getting. I mean, so things have dramatically changed with technology. And you can spend a lot of time. And the thing we have to not forget is eternity is in this time. We have to realize, you know, what is captivating my attention? What's taking my time? Anyway, that's another thought. And last but not least, I would like if you would look to verse... I must have skipped that. I think I know where it is. It says here. Oh, come on. It's this. It's kingdom reflection. And I have here, I thought I highlighted, here it is, okay, verse 5. For this ye know, that no whoremonger or unclean person or covetous man who is an adulterer hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. So in other words, if you're not reflecting God's kingdom, you're in another kingdom. And God wants you to be working in his kingdom. He wants you to be reflecting his kingdom. So when you relate to people on your daily work, do they see the kingdom of God in your life? Are they drawn to the kingdom of God? Or do they see you as a selfish, indifferent, whatever? A person, my acronym for sin is selfish, indifference, and negative. And if they see that in your life, you're not reflecting the kingdom of God. Now I don't do this too often, but before I came, what Ephesians 5 gave me this. Before I was going into Ephesians 5, I'm going to give you some other reasons I think that our works can be. Our works, it's W-O-R-S-R-K-S. That is, our works could be, first of all, it's our worship. When we have truly God in us, our life is a life of worship. Every day, we should thank God. Every day, we should be seeking God. It's a worship experience every day. And it's obedience. This obedience to truth. R, reflecting Jesus. And K is just being kind. My wife and I have gone to many weddings, and my wife and I have come up to the thought that too many times you forget just the key word, just be kind to each other. Just be kind. And that is it's a fruit of the Spirit. It's part of God. He wants us to just be kind. And last but not least, S, I have written down here, seeking the lost. When was the last time you told somebody about Jesus? My wife and I went to Harrisburg here to the, what do we call it again? The Home and Garden Show. And my wife wanted to go, and I dropped everything and went. I love my wife. And we met a lot of people there. It was very interesting. And there was two men there, and I'm not going to give you the names because you might know who they are. But they're both from Baltimore. And the guy actually called me by my brother's name. He said, "Hey, Dale." And I just looked at him, and he said, "You married a weaver, didn't you?" I said, "Yeah, I did marry a weaver. But my brother married a weaver, too." So, you know, whippy ding. Anyway, after we were done, he realized that I was Dale's brother, not Dale. Anyway, they gave the testimony. You probably don't know Alan Weaver Sr. How many know Alan Weaver Sr.? Okay, not too many. But anyway, Alan was a farmer, dairy. He's my brother-in-law's dad. His parents both have passed. But anyway, I went with him to a sale one time. I was wanting to buy a wheel loader, and I figured he could give me some advice, counsel. And, you know, I was one of these German guys that didn't want to spend much money. And but anyway, he was there, and he told me, he said, "John," he said, "when you make this purchase, don't see it as an expense. Look at it as an investment." And it opened me up a little bit. I was like, wow, I never thought of it that way. I've never forgotten that thought. But the thing that stood out to me more than anything else was that day was he was there and he gave a tract to some guys. I mean, these were hippie-looking guys, you know. And he said, "Hey, or here's my business card, and make sure you read that back. Jesus loves you," you know. And I was like, okay. Anyway, a little bunny trail. These two men both said they knew Alan. And they said if it wouldn't have been for him, they would not be in Lancaster County. They actually came into the Eastern Church. And it was like, now they aren't there anymore. But the fact is, he brought them from a world environment to a Christian environment. And I thought to myself, Am I seeking the lost? Do I seek the lost? I mean, Alan Weaver Sr. challenged me. And I think we could all improve on that from the standpoint, when was the last time you said somebody to somebody, like, hey, God loves you, Jesus loves you. I have some things I want you to ponder. And we're here in Ephesians 2. I'd like to read a couple of verses here. Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We cannot boast about our works, because our salvation is in Jesus Christ alone. But when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we automatically produce works or fruit. If you don't have fruit after experiencing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you better examine your relationship. All right, and then Matthew, I'll just turn to these. Matthew 7, and as you can tell, I'm not a computer. I mean, I don't have this stuff printed out. You know, I write my stuff out. And actually, it might be good because when I lose my notes, nobody has to worry about me. 7:27. I'm sorry, 26. That doesn't make sense. Oh. If I would get in the right book, Mark doesn't have the same words as Matthew. Matthew 7, and read this, verse 26. We all know about the building up the temple, or the wise man. Verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. So in other words, our works are very critical. In other words, we have to live a life of truth so that we are building on the rock. If we do not see the importance of not just knowing the truth, but living the truth, that's the most important thing. And Revelation 14, there's a verse here that I'd like to hopefully close out on. Revelation 14, verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. The fact is, our works are going to be a key factor or where we end up. And the thing I understand as I get older, and that is, nothing's hid from God. You can put on a plain suit, you can wear a black hat, you can do all these things to make yourself look righteous or whatever, but God knows your heart, and God, you can't run from God. And my heart cry is that each one of us would just be honest and open before him so that he can work in our lives and so that we can be the workmanship that God can receive the glory. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word. We pray that as we share truth today, that you might have it penetrate into each of our hearts. Help us to apply it. Help us to live it, so that you can receive the honor and glory. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.
In the hymnal 189.